بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, is going to be our 15th session, reading from the Sharh, the explanation of Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, with the commentary of the Sharh of Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz, rahimahullah. Before we look at the topic for this evening, we're going to quickly review some of the points that we covered in last week's session from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 14. The first question being, what is affirmed by the first group or the majority of ayat mentioned by the muallif, the author, in this chapter? What is affirmed? In the first group or majority of ayat mentioned by the muallif in this chapter. Naam, Amir.
Allah's description of speech.
Yani Allah being described with speech. That is from the sifat of Allah that He speaks. And the Shaykh, he said concerning this, that all of these ayat that have preceded are intended as a clarification of affirming the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but this particular group of ayat is specifically in clarification, yani bayan kalamullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani this specific group of ayat, the first group of ayat, the intent of it is the clarification of kalam as a sifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second question, mention some of the Arabic expressions in these ayat which all point to the affirmation of one main sifa of Allah. What are some of the expressions that came in these ayat? Naam, Abdul Wali.
He spoke,
yani?
Kalama,
the verb kalama, yani that he spoke, and also, yani, qala, and yaqulu, that he speaks. Naam.
Nida.
Okay, that he calls out in an audible voice, in a raised voice. Any other expressions? Naam.
He summoned.
Okay, he summoned. Yani nada, yunadi. Naam. Any other words that were used? Naam.
An-nijah.
Okay. Naam. Yani that he brought him near to him to speak to him privately. Naam. What else? Naam.
Haditha.
Oh yeah, you know. Man, what's the ayah that came? Man asdaqu min Allahi hadithan. Man asdaqu min Allahi hadithan. And kalaman with the same expression. Now, so these are some of the expressions that came. The Shaykh is saying that these various ayat and these different expressions that came were primarily intended as affirmation of the characteristic or quality or description of Allah, of speech, that Allah speaks. What is the view of Ahlul Kalam, the people of theological rhetoric, concerning the Kalam of Allah, concerning the speech of Allah? What was the view or the opinion of the Ahlul Kalam concerning the speech of Allah? What did they say about the speech of Allah? Sharif?
They said it was ancient speech and that it didn't speak anymore.
Okay, that it was ancient speech. Yani Kalam Qadim. And that he doesn't speak. He's not being described now with speech. That was something that happened a long time ago. Question number 4. Briefly mention how the Sharih, the explainer of the text, refutes the view of Ahlul Kalam. How does he refute the view of Ahlul Kalam? What does he say concerning his refutation of their view that Allah just spoke a long time ago and he doesn't speak now? And there's a long discussion that he has here. He mentions several different points from amongst them. He said, Naam.
Allah has spoken and he will continue to speak.
He has spoken and he will continue to speak.
And he will speak to the people in Jannah.
And he will speak to the people in Jannah. And he will speak to them. Naam.
And he has spoken to...
And he has spoken. He has spoken to Musa alayhi salam. He's spoken to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the night, in the ascension, and so on. Yani the Shaykh, basically he's saying that there are many examples where Allah spoke.
And there are also proofs from the Quran that Allah will speak, that He will speak to the people on يعني يوم القيامة, and that He will speak to the Ahlul Jannah, and so on. So he said that Allah did speak, and He will continue to speak whenever He wills, with whatever He wills, to whomever He wills. Question number 5, which point of Aqeedah and which sifa is intended in the final ayat of this chapter in the words Ziyada and Mazid? What is intended, yani in terms of the point of Aqeedah and the sifa that is intended in the final ayat? The ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَ وَزِيَادَ. What is intended here? Naam. Yani that what is intended here is another, that on that day the believers will see Allah, yani in paradise, all that they have been given, Allah will give them that which would be more beloved to them, all of that, and that is to see Allah, to look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the point of Aqeedah, that we believe that yani Allah will be seen, yani He will be seen on Yawm al-Qiyamah, He will be seen by the people of Jannah in Jannah. The last question, what is the final argument of the Shari, the explainer of the text, wherein he mentions the that of Allah and His sifat? And what did he say concerning the that of Allah and His sifat? And the that of Allah, meaning Allah's self, His divine being, or as they translate it in the book, His essence. The that of Allah and His sifat. What did he say concerning this? Huh? Who's speaking? Oh, Muhammad? Huh? That it's not like theirs. He's saying, what's not like theirs? Okay, His sifat and his that is not like theirs. Specifically, he said, yani he made a sentence that's alluding to, and that he said what? Fadl, yeah.
The that of Allah, the exalted, does not resemble the essence of the creation, and His attributes do not resemble the attributes of the creation. His names are attributes of truth, basic of mental shame, and it is mandatory to believe in Him. And how is not
asked about. So, in summary, what he said there is that just as the that of Allah, His divine being, is not like the that of created beings, just as His being, His divine being, is not like the created beings, then so likewise His sifat are not like their sifat. And this is a principle that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned in several of his books, where he said, Al-Qawl fi sifat kal-Qawl fi that. What we say about His sifat is what we say about His that. Just as everyone knows that Allah's divine being is not like the being of any creature, so likewise His sifat also are not like the sifat of the created being. So these are some of the points that we covered last week. Naam, tafadhal. Mazid, what is the meaning of it? The same meaning, what is intended there is the same meaning, yani as what the in the hadith of Sahih Muslim, hadith of Suhaib radiallahu anhu, he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the most beloved thing that the people will have in Jannah is to look at Allah's face, and he recited this ayat, yani that they will have al-husna wa ziyada. And mazid has the same meaning, yani something extra. Yani everything that the people were given in paradise, Allah will give them something ziyada, yani a mazid, something extra, in addition to all the things that they have been given in paradise. And that extra would be to look at, to see the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This evening, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we are going to be reading in English from page 107, yani the text from Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, and the sharh beginning on page 109, it ends on page 117, and we're not going to complete yani from page 107 to 117, but we're going to try to take half of that, inshallah, try to make it like evenly half, so we'll take the other half in the next session, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And tonight, inshallah, we're going to read the text and a little bit of the sharh. And then next week, inshallah, we'll continue with the sharh, in which, yani, what we will expect to read tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, the shaykh is going to explain one of the hadith, one of the 6 hadith mentioned in this chapter, and then he'll have some brief explanation concerning the others, yani in that which remains of the Shah that will cover bi-idhnillahi ta'ala next week. So we're reading in English from page 107 and in Arabic from page 55. In Arabic from page 55. By the way, there are a couple of copies of the Arabic text of the book. If anybody would like to read in Arabic and follow us, then I have a couple of copies here that we can give to you if anybody needs it. Anybody need Arabic copy? Nobody? Afraid of Arabic? Ta'eed, khair. Huh? I had one. Somebody took it. But we can get it though if somebody needs, inshallah. Ta'eed. So, we're going to begin from reading the Arabic on page 55. The title of this chapter is Ithbatu Sifatillahi Min Sahihi Sunnatihi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Kannuzuli Walfarahi Waddahiki. Yani the affirmation of Sifat of Allah, descriptions or qualities or characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like an-nuzul, his descending, and al-farah, his being happy, and al-dahiq, laughing, or as they translated in the English translation, smiling. And perhaps any of the reason why it is translated as smiling, and Allah knows best, is because it might seem a little strange to describe Allah with laughing. But keeping in mind that, I mean, that is the meaning of the word, and that Allah's qualities and characteristics are not like the qualities and characteristics of the human beings. So a person shouldn't be afraid to describe Allah with that which he described himself with, for fear that that description might not seem to be befitting or suitable or appropriate for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah's sifat are not like the sifat of the human beings. And basically, laughing simply means, yani what we understand in English from laughing, yani it is the movements of the face or the body when a person is lively amused with something. And then a person laughs. There's nothing, yani, there that we should be concerned about, especially if we consider that, yani, the sifat of Allah should not be compared to the sifat of the human beings. So the mu'allif, rahimahullah, that is Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he says, ثُمَّ فِي السُّنَّةِ ثُمَّ فِي سُنَّةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Yani, ثُمَّ فِي سُنَّةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. He means, from previously, we talked about the affirmation of the sifat of Allah and the asma of Allah from the Quran. And now he's saying, and likewise from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَالسُنَّةُ تُفَسِّرُ الْقُرْآنِ وَتُبَيِّنُهُ وَتَضُلُّ عَلَيْهِ وَتُعَبِّرُ عَنْهُ. Here, the expressions that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah uses here can be understood in a number of ways. And so as to not get stuck on the translation, as we have it in the translation of the book here, I'm going to mention anyhow some of the scholars, particularly Al-Imam Muhammad Ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, how he's explained these expressions in his explanation of Al-Aqidah al-Wasitiyah. So that we don't get stuck on the translation, the English translation, we're going to see how the Shaykh has explained these expressions, and also note that some scholars may have explained them a little bit differently. May have explained them a little bit differently. As far as فَالسُنَّةُ تُفَسِّرُ الْقُرْآنِ, the sunnah تُفَسِّر, يعني explains the Qur'an. The Shaykh says, يعني تُوَضِّحُ الْمَعْنَى الْمُرَادْ مِنْهُ. Yani the sunnah makes clear the meaning that is intended by what came in the Quran. The sunnah makes clear. Yani if something is not clear, what is intended, what is the intended meaning, the sunnah makes it clear. An example that he gives of this is the example that we just saw in the last session, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَالزِّيَادَةِ. Yani that Allah says for those who have practiced ihsan in their worship of Allah and in their dealings with the people, they will have al-husna, that which is best, the best reward, that is Jannah wa ziyada. What is intended? What is al-mana al-murad bi-ziyada? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the authentic hadith reported by al-Imam Muslim from Suhaib radiallahu anhu, he said that it means looking at the face of Allah. So this is an example of the first expression, the sunnah tufassiru al-Qur'an. Yani it explains the intended meaning of that in the Qur'an which might not be clear. وَتُبَيِّنُهُ, and it also, yani, makes clear the meaning of the Qur'an. It also, تُبَيِّن. Yani here the Shaykh says, what is intended by تُبَيِّن? يَعْنِي تُبَيِّن الْمُجْمَلْ مِنْهُ. Yani that which is mentioned in the with general expressions, the sunnah gives us the details of it. The sunnah gives us the details of it. And he gives many examples. The first example that he gives, and he says the ayat in the Quran, many of them are mujmala. Yani they are general. But the sunnah makes clear, yani, the details of what is intended there, as in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 43rd ayah, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. Yani, establish the prayers. Allah has commanded the iqama, the establishment of prayer. وَبَيِّنَتْ السُنَّةِ كَيْفِيَتِهَا. Yani Allah commands us with a general command to establish the prayer. And the sunnah explains exactly how, what is the establishment of the prayer, how is it done. Explains how it is done. So something came mujmal, and the sunnah, and he gives the bayan, the clarification of it. The third expression that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentions concerning the sunnah tufassiru al-Qur'an wa tubayyinuhu, he says, وَتَدُلُّ عَلَيْهِ. وَتَدُلُّ عَلَيْهِ. He says, تَدُلُّ عَلَيْهِ هَذِهِ الْكَلِمَةِ تَعُمْ التَّفْسِيرُ وَالتَّبْيِينُ وَالتَّعْبِيرُ فَالسُنَّةُ تُفَسِّرُ الْقُرْآنَ وَتُبَيِّنُ الْقُرْآنَ. And he said here there is some difference concerning how the scholars have explained this particular expression. The Shaykh, he says, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, he says, تَدُلُّ عَلَيْهِ, yani, he said it means, yani, that this word is general, including the meaning of tafsir and tabyin and ta'bir. It includes the previous two expressions and the fourth expression that came. Yani, tufassir al-Qur'an, wa tubayyin al-Qur'an, wa tu'abbir anhu. He said it includes all of that. The sunnah does all of those things. And then he said, wa tu'abbiru anhu, yani, in the sunnah tu'abbir an al-Qur'an, yani, ta'ati bima'anin jadida aw bi ahkamin jadida laysat fil Quran. Yani that the sunnah comes with new meanings and new rulings that are not mentioned in the Quran. Things that are not mentioned in the Quran came in the sunnah. And he said this is, yani, it occurs frequently in the Quran. There are lots of ahkam shara'iyya that the sunnah independently brought to us that didn't come in the Quran. On the last two expressions, Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, in his explanation of al-Wasatiyya, he mentions the first two expressions, yani tufassiru al-Qur'an wa tubayyinu al-Qur'an, similar to what Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen has mentioned, and then he says, وَالسُنَّةَ أَيْضًا تَدُلُّ عَلَى الْقُرْآنِ وَتُعَبِّرُ عَنْهُ أي تَدُلُّ عَلَى مَا دَلَّ عَلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنِ وَتُعَبِّرُ عَمَّا عَبَّرَ عَنْهُ الْقُرْآنِ. Yani that the sunnah, تَدُلُّ, yani it points to that which the Qur'an points to. And it expresses that which the Qur'an expresses. It talks about what the Qur'an talks about. So he said that these two words mean that the sunnah is like the Qur'an in that which it points to and that which it expresses. Yani Shaykh Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen said that the meaning of تَدُلُّ, it means tafsir. It means the tafsir, it also means the tabyeen, and it means the ta'bir. And as far as the ta'bir, he said it means that the sunnah brings us meanings and ahkam, rulings, that have not been mentioned in the Qur'an. So this is, yani, a brief attempt to explain how, yani, what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, perhaps what he means here, yani, that as-sunnah tufassiru al-Qur'an wa tubayyinuhu wa tadullu alayhi wa tu'abbiru anhu. Yani, meaning that the sunnah supports the Qur'an. Yani it explains, clarifies, yani it even brings some things that are necessary that didn't come in the Qur'an. The sunnah supports the Qur'an in all of these ways. Then he says, وَمَا وَصَفَ الرَّسُولُ بِهِ رَبَّهُ جَلَّ وَعَلَى مِنَ الْأَحَدِيثَ الصِّحَةَ الَّتِي تَلَقَّاهَا أَهْلُ الْمَعْرِفَةِ بِالْقَبُولِ وَجَبَ الْإِيمَانُ بِهَا كَذَلِكَ. And so that which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has described his Rabb with, that which he has described Allah with, in the authentic narrations of hadith, which have been received with acceptance by the Ahlul Ma'rifah, yani that the people who have knowledge of hadith, the people who have knowledge of hadith, the specialists in hadith, they have received these hadith with acceptance, they have accepted them. So here he's saying that the authentic hadith are those hadith which the people of knowledge of hadith have accepted as being authentic. That which they have accepted as being authentic. So those descriptions that came in those authentic hadith, which the people who are experts in the field of hadith have accepted as being authentic, he said, وَجَبَ الْإِيمَانْ بِهَا كَذَلِكَ. So it is also obligatory to believe in, yani those descriptions, those sifat that came in the authentic hadith. It's also obligatory, yani to believe in them, just as it's obligatory to believe in the sifat that came in the Qur'an. So here he's showing, yani, that the equality between the Qur'an and the Sunnah, in terms of the obligation to believe in the sifat that came in the Qur'an, there's equal obligation to believe in the sifat that came in the authentic Sunnah. The Sunnah that has been accepted as being sahih by the people of knowledge of hadith. And here we should keep in mind that there are lots of narrations that came in the books of hadith, the well-known, accepted books of hadith that are not authentic. There are lots of narrations that are not authentic. So a person has to keep in mind, as we mentioned some sessions back a long time ago, and try to emphasize again and again and again, that what we are talking about here when we're talking about the hadith, we're talking about authentic hadith that have been received and accepted as being authentic by the people of knowledge of hadith. And that doesn't include everybody. That does not include everybody. After this, the Shaykh begins to mention hadith. In this chapter, he mentions 6 hadith. And I think that there are 16 hadith, I think, 16 hadith that Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah mentions concerning the sifat of Allah, affirming sifat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this chapter, there are 6. In the following chapter, he mentions 7. And in the third chapter, he mentions 3. So in these chapters, we're going to see the hadith that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentions concerning the affirmation of sifat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And out of these 6, all of them except one is muttafaqun alayh. All of them except one is muttafaqun alayh. And that's yani important that he begins with hadith about which there's no question about their authenticity. And it doesn't mean that if a hadith is not muttafaqun alayh, it's not acceptable. Because a hadith in Bukhari might not be in Muslim. Hadith in Muslim might not be in Bukhari. A hadith that might not be in either Bukhari or Muslim, in neither of them, can also be sahih. But the point is that this is the strongest level of authenticity. A hadith that is agreed upon as being authentic by both al-Bukhari and Muslim. Muttafaqun alayh, yani ala sihati. So he begins with these 6 hadith, and the first of them, we're gonna, from what we read in the sharh, we're gonna look at yani a brief explanation concerning this hadith. Very, very important hadith. And the remaining hadith, we'll look at some of the commentary, brief commentary from the Shaykh in the following session, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. The first hadith, number 1, 6 hadith. فَمِنْ ذَلِكَ مِثْلُ قَوْلِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Yani from amongst those hadith which have been accepted, received with acceptance by the people of knowledge of hadith as being authentic, from amongst them is the likeness of his saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yanzilu rabbuna ila samaa ad-dunya kulla laylatin hina yabqa thuluthul layli al-akhiru. Yani that our Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, descends to the samaa ad-dunya, yani to the heaven that is closest to this earth, the lowest heaven, every single night of the year, at the time when the final third of the night remains. When the final third of the night remains. And if we count the hours from Maghrib until Fajr, how many hours there are and divide them by 3, the final third of the night Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends in a manner that's befitting of His majesty and His greatness and His glory. And it doesn't resemble the descending of created beings. He descends to the lowest heaven and He says, فَيَقُولُ مَنْ يَدَعُونِي فَأَسْتَجِيبَ لَهُ. Who is it that will supplicate to me so that I will answer him? Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is encouraging us to supplicate to Him. Who of you will supplicate to me so that I will answer him? Yani guaranteed. مَنْ يَسْأَلُنِي فَأُعْطِيَهُ. Who will ask me for something so that I will give it to him? وَمَنْ يَسْتَغْفِرُنِي فَأَغْفِرُ لَهُ. Who will seek forgiveness of me so that I will forgive him? مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. Agreed upon by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And this hadith is a tremendous hadith, and the Shaykh discusses it a little bit in what we will read from the Sharh tonight. But it is a hadith that a person needs to reflect upon, carefully dwell upon, and then act upon. As the Imam mentioned after the Salatul Isha, yani that the important, one of the reasons why aqidah is important, because it affects our behavior. And if a person believes that these are the sifat of Allah, then it will affect their behavior. If a person believes that Allah descends in the last third of the night and is calling out for somebody to ask so that he will give and to supplicate so that he will respond to them, that if a person believes that, that's supposed to affect your behavior. And the reason why I'm saying that this hadith and the likes of it need to be reflected upon and dwelled upon and contemplated over, because without doing so, perhaps, yani it will just pass us by. And we won't act upon it. We will not get up in the last third of the night. And we will not ask Allah for our needs. And we just have to look at ourselves. How often do we get up in the last third of the night? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbul Alameen, the one who has power over everything, who does whatever He wills, is saying, ask. Which one of you will get up and ask me, and I will give you? And we don't get up and ask. That means that we need to reflect on this carefully, and we need to remind ourselves of it by reading it over and over again, and then we need to act upon it. The second hadith. وَقَوْلُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَلَّهُ أَشَدُّ فَرَحًا بِتَوْبَةِ عَبْدِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِ التَّائِبِ مِنْ أَحَدِكُمْ بِرَاحِلَتِهِ. الحديث متفق عليه. And in the book that we're reading from, the Arabic text, it says Allahu, but it seems as though most of the narrations that I have seen begins with Lam al-Ibtida, Lallahu. And probably, yani there might be a narration that doesn't begin like that, Allahu Alam, but in any case, that's what it appears to be, Lallahu, that indeed, definitely, certainly, emphasizing the meaning, Allah is ashaddu farhan, is more happy than with the tawbah of His abd, His repentant believing abd. He's more happy with that one's repentance than one of you, yani with his riding animal that was lost with all of his provisions and returned to him, as in the hadith as it's mentioned, yani in its details. Person on the desert whose animal escaped from them with all of their provisions, and then they just laid down, yani having no hope of life, ready to die, and then the animal came back, and they grabbed it, and they were extremely, extremely happy because their life has been saved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returning the animal to them. That happiness that the human being experienced, then Allah is more happy with our tawbah than that person is with the return of his riding animal. Just imagine what kind of happiness that is. And then that should also, if we believe that, it should make us feel the need, the importance, the magnitude of our repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third hadith. And this second hadith also, as I mentioned, is muttafaqun alayh, agreed upon by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And there's no way for the people who reject these sifat of Allah, there's no way to get away from it. Yani the hadith is the highest degree of authenticity that can't be argued against. There's no room for argument. And as some of the scholars of Sunnah said, that the people who reject the sifat of Allah that He has described Himself with, that came in the Sunnah, their first attempt is to try to criticize the authenticity of the hadith, if they can find any way to attack it. And then if they can't do that, like here they can't do that, then they start giving interpretations, making up stuff. The third hadith, قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم يضحك الله إلى رجلين يقتل أحدهما الآخر كلاهما يدخل الجنة. متفق عليه. Also agreed upon as being authentic by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. The saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that Allah laughs concerning two men. One of them killed the other and both of them will enter paradise. And as the remainder of the hadith clarifies for us, the meaning is that a disbeliever killed a Muslim who was fighting in the way of Allah, and that Muslim who was killed in the way of Allah will enter Jannah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned mercifully to that person and guided them to Islam. They accepted Islam and they were killed fighting in the way of Allah, so also entering Jannah. And here, there's a note, but it'll come in another hadith. But anyway, I'll save it, inshallah. يضحق الله. Allah laughs, or as it's translated, smiles. Concerning this matter of two people. One of them killed the other, and both of them, by Allah's mercy and His favor, by Allah's rahmah, both of them will enter the Jannah. And that should give hope, to every Muslim, that Allah's mercy and His favor and His bounty is so vast that there's no reason for us to lose hope of the mercy of Allah. And nobody will enter Jannah except by the rahmah and the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fourth hadith. The fourth hadith of these six is the only one that's not reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And it is also graded by the people of knowledge of hadith as being hasan. It's graded as being hasan. قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم عجب ربنا من قنوت عباده وقرب غيره ينظر إليكم أزلين قانتين فيظل يضحك يعلم أن فرجكم قريب. حديث حسن. In the footnote it says that this hadith is Hasan, beloved al-madhkur an Abi Razin al-Uqayli radiyallahu anhu, awradahu Ibn Kathir in the tafsirihi qawlihi ta'ala, am hasibatum an tadkhulu al-jannah, Surah Baqarah, second Surah, 214th ayah. That this hadith is Hasan with this wording, the wording that came here. So the hadith is narrated with some slightly different wording. With this wording from Abi Razin al-Uqayli radiyallahu anhu, it was narrated by Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir in his tafsir of this ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah. Do you think you will enter the Jannah when there hasn't yet come to you the difficulties and hardships and sickness and trials of the people before you? Do you think you will enter Jannah and you will not be tested and tried with what the people before you were tried? To the extent, they were shaken to the extent that the messenger, their messenger, and those who believed with him, said, when will come the help of Allah? That's how the people before were tested and tried. And nobody should imagine that we are not also going to be tested and tried. So whatever we see happening in the world today, this is from the tests and the trials that Allah tested the people before with. This is not the first time that the people who say we believe are tested with severe tests. حَتَّى يَقُولُ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ. حَتَّى the messenger that was sent to those people and the people who believed with him, they were shaken to the extent they said, مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهُ. When will come the help of Allah? And Allah says the help of Allah is near. Indeed, the help of Allah is near. And we should think about that. But what we see happening in the world today, know that the help of Allah is near. أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. ألا إن نصر الله قريب. نعم. And it's also mentioned in the footnote here in Arabic. I don't know if it's in English. I failed to check it. But in any case, in the footnote, it says here that this hadith also came with another wording. قال قلت يا رسول الله يا رسول الله ضحك ربنا من قنوت عباده I'm sorry. Now, the narrator said, O Messenger of Allah, does our Rabb laugh from the despair of his worshippers and the nearness of the change in their condition? And the narrator said, I said, Ya Rasulullah, أَيَّدْحَقُوا الرَّبْ Does the Rabb, our Rabb, does he laugh? And the Prophet ﷺ said, Na'am. And then the narrator said, لَنْ نَعْدِمَ مِنْ رَبْ يَدْحَقُ خَيْرًا That we would never be without khair from a Rabb that laughs. Yani, this is an indication that only khair is coming from him. In any case, in this hadith, under discussion here, the fourth hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, عَجِبَ رَبُّنَا مِنْ كُنُوتِ عِبَادِهِ That Allah is amazed, our Rabb is amazed from the despair of His worshippers. وَقُرْبِ غِيَرِهِ And the nearness of the change that Allah is going to bring about in their condition. Yani, Allah is amazed. And this amazement, as Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen explains in detail in his explanation of Wasatiyah, this amazement is not the amazement of a person who something happens and because they didn't know that that would happen or could happen, they're amazed. Because Allah knows everything. But the amazement here is from the behavior or the action of one that is, yani, not normal for them, that's unbecoming of them. Yani, the believer, the worshipper of Allah, should never lose hope of Allah. That's unbecoming of a believer. Allah is amazed at this. That this is not the normal behavior for the worshipper of Allah, for the believer. عَجِبَ رَبُّنَا مِنْ كُنُوتِ عِبَادِهِ Allah is amazed, our Rabb is amazed from the despair of His worship, of His worshippers. وَقُرْبِ غِيَرِهِ While the change in their condition is near. Allah has power to do whatever He wills, instantly. He just says to something, kun, and it is. So the believer has to know that the change in their condition is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He can change their condition immediately. A person is in despair, not knowing that tomorrow their condition is going to change. If Allah wills. يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْكُمْ أَزِلِينَ قَانِتِينَ Allah is looking at you all. While you are in, yani, a difficult situation. Qanitina, yani, full of despair, hopelessness. The situation is so difficult, the person doesn't imagine that there's any hope for them. فَيَظَلُّ يَضْحَقُ So Allah laughs. He continues to laugh at this amazing situation of a worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whose condition is difficult and they are in despair. From the mercy of Allah, the relief from Allah. فَيَظَلُّ يَضْحَقُ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّ فَرَجَكُمْ قَرِيبٌ He continues to laugh, knowing that your relief is near. Knowing that your relief is near. So if a person believes this, then there's no reason for despair. Rather, a believer should have hope of the relief from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the time. Then the Shaykh, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentions the fifth hadith, which is from those which are muttafaqun alayh, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا تزال جهنم يلقى فيها وهي تقول هل من مزيد حتى يضع رب العزة فيها رجله وفي رواية عليها قدمه فينزوي بعضها إلى بعض فيقول قط قط متفق عليه يعني that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that the hellfire will continue to have يعني people thrown into it and it will be saying هل من مزيد يعني are there any more يعني bring some more bring some more حتى يضع رب العزة فيها رجله أو في رواية عليها قدمه until the رب العزة يعني the رب of might and honor until he places his maybe it could be translated as his leg but in another narration he says that he places upon it his foot and the meaning here apparently is that Shaykh al-Islam al-Taymiyyah is mentioning the second narration to make us understand what is meant by rijl. And what is meant by rijl is qadam. What is intended here is the foot of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though many of the scholars said that this hadith is an affirmation in the two narrations of, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sifa of rijl and the sifa of qadam. But it appears, and Allah knows best, that what is intended here is that he's mentioning the second narration to make us understand what is meant by rijl. Because rijl can mean foot, and it can mean leg. And qadam means foot only. So what is intended here, and Allah knows best, is the affirmation of qadam for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he does so, then the parts of the hellfire will contract upon one another. And then it, the hellfire, will speak, and it will say, enough, enough. And this hadith is muttafaqun alayh. The sixth hadith and the final hadith of this chapter is his saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَقُولُ تَعَالَى يَا آدَمُ, yani that Allah the Most High will call out to Adam, saying, O Adam, alayhi salam. فَيَقُولُ, and Adam would respond saying, لَبَيْكَ وَسَعَدَيْكَ, yani, لَبَيْكَ وَسَعَدَيْكَ. Yani the summary of the meaning of it, لَبَيْكَ means, here I am at your command, yani, I am ready to obey. Yani it means the repetition of yani obedience, yani being ready to follow the command. And sa'adayk means also yani happiness. After happiness, yani that the person is saying, I'm here, ready to obey your command, so that you will make me happy, fortunate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the hadith says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, fayunadi bisawtin. In the English translation, the Arabic is fayunada. And most of the transcripts of Al-Aqid al-Wasatiyah that I've seen, yani, it seems as though the correct wording of the hadith is fayunadi. And that is what is affirmed in the explanations of this hadith, that yunada means it will be called out with a voice that is heard. Yunadi means Allah himself, he is the one who will call out, and that's what it seems to be the intent of the mention of this hadith, the affirmation of nida for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah will call out. And that's how yani Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimahullah explains it, yani the meaning of it, that Allah himself will call out. That's how Shaykh Salih Fawzan hafidhullah explains it, and that's how Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen explained it as well rahimahullah. Yani that Allah the Most High says, O Adam, and Adam will say labayk wa sa'adayk, and then Allah will call out bisawtin, with a voice, yani voice that is heard. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكَ أَن تُخْرِجَ مِن ذُرِّيَّتِكَ بَعْثًا إِلَى النَّارِ. Yani that indeed Allah has commanded you to bring forth from your offspring a group of people that will be yani in the fire. بَعْثًا إِلَى النَّارِ. And this hadith is muttafaqun alayh. And this is one of the hadith that Imam Abdulaziz ibn Ibaz, in his explanation here, that we'll look at, yani, that he actually gives some commentary on this particular hadith. Most of them, his commentary is very, very brief concerning these hadith, but in any case, he does give some commentary concerning this particular hadith. Five.
As far as the time,
jayyid. So these hadith, all of them have meanings that are really important to study independently. Yani every one of these hadith, its explanation should be studied independently. And again, as I mentioned in the beginning of this course, our intent here was to try to yani go through this book with a brief, summarized explanation so that we could finish it. And he said, we'll be here for the next 2 years. So, yani, I'm saying to you, if you have the energy or the motivation or the ability to go back and look at the meanings of these hadith, it will be extremely beneficial. Shaykh Salih Fawzan, hafidhullah, in his explanation of Al-Wasatiyah, gives a brief commentary on each ayah and each hadith. And Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, in his commentary, gives an extensive commentary on each of these hadith and each of the ayat. So if a person wants to go back and look in those places, they can benefit a lot. Now, both of them are translated into English. Both of them are translated into English. Tremendous, tremendous benefit. Now, tayyib. As far as the sharh, it says sharh samaha to Sheikh Ibn Baz rahimahullah. And in his explanation, as I mentioned, he mentions brief commentary on each of these hadith, very, very brief, some of them, and a little bit more in some of them. And in the first hadith, the second hadith, and the sixth hadith, in the order that they came in the text of the book, the first, second, and sixth hadith, he comments on a little bit, and others he just passes over, but not in the order that we just read them in. And he comments on them in a different order, not as they came in the original text. So the Shaykh, he says, that is, Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, هذه الأحاديث الستة كالتي قبلها من الآيات. These six hadith are like that which came before it from ayat. Yani they are just like the ayats that came before. The ruling concerning what these hadith bring to us is the same as the ruling concerning what came in the ayats of the Quran. In terms of the affirmation of sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or asma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هذه الأحاديث الستة كالتي قبلها من الآيات. They are the same. دلت كما دل القرآن على إثبات الصفات والأسماء لله سبحانه وتعالى. يعني they indicate, they point out, or they prove just as the Quran does. يعني that is the affirmation of the صفات of Allah and the أسماء of Allah. يعني these hadith point to and prove just as the Quran does. يعني the affirmation of صفات, qualities and characteristics or descriptions for Allah and His names. وأنه جل وعلا مسمى بالأسماء الحسنى. And also these hadith, just as the Quran does, makes us to know that Allah is named with beautiful names. وموصوف بالصفات العلى. And He is described with lofty qualities and characteristics. يعني the hadith, just as the Quran, makes us to know that Allah is named with the most beautiful names and described with the most lofty qualities and characteristics. كما جاء في القرآن فكذا في السنة. Just as it came in the Quran, same ways with the Sunnah. So he has said this in three different ways here in this little paragraph to make us to know the equality of the Quran and Sunnah. As far as affirming what came in the Quran and Sunnah, they are equal. They are equal. And it's not like it came in the Quran, you have to believe in it. Came in the Sunnah, maybe, but not necessarily. No, it's the same. It's the same. The authentic Sunnah. Then the Shaykh says, فَإِنَّ سُنَّةَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ السَّحِيحَةَ تُفَسِّرُ الْقُرْآنَ وَتُبَيِّنُهُ وَتَدُلُّ عَلَيْهِ وَتُعَبِّرُ عَنْهُ كَمَا دَلَّ عَلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنَ. And that is because the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yani the authentic sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tufassir al-Quran, explains the Quran, wa tubayyinuhu, and clarifies, yani that which is mentioned generally, wa tudullu alayhi, wa tu'abbir anhu, and it brings to us some meanings and some ahkam that are not mentioned in the Quran. The sunnah does all of this. Kama dalla alayhi al-Quran. Just as the Quran brings us yani the affirmation of sifat and asma for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so the sunnah, the same way. كَمَا دَلَّ عَلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنِ. Sunnah is the same way. لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ جَلَّ وَعَلَىٰ قَالَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. In Surah An-Nur, 24th Surah, 62nd Ayat, Allah commands us, yani to believe. Or He says to us, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Yani verily those who are really the believers are those who believe in Allah and His Messenger. And He says in Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 59th Ayat, أَطِيُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيُوا الرَّسُولِ. Obey the Messenger, obey Allah and obey the Messenger. Yani the command here of obedience is equal. Allah is commanding us to obey Himself and He's also equally commanding us to obey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَقَالَ جَلَّ وَعَلَىٰ وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَىٰ مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَىٰ وَمَا يَنْتِكُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُهَىٰ. That, yani by the star when it falls, your companion, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has not gone astray, nor has he erred, and he doesn't speak from his desires. He doesn't just say things that he feels like saying, but rather it is revelation that is revealed. Yani as the Quran is revelation, what the Prophet ﷺ says is revelation, equal. The Shaykh says, to make clear this matter, فكما جاءت الآيات بالصفات والأسماء هكذا جاءت السنة بالأسماء والصفات. Just as the يعني they came to us آيات of the Quran with the qualities and characteristics and names of Allah, so similarly the same way these أسماء and صفات came to us equally in the Sunnah. فما ثبت في السنة الصحيحة فحكمه حكم ما ثبت في القرآن. So whatever is confirmed in the authentic Sunnah, then the ruling concerning it is the same as the ruling of what is confirmed in the Quran. No difference between them. What is that ruling? يجب إثباته لله والإيمان بأنه وصف لله واسم لله على الوجه اللائق بالله سبحانه وتعالى من غير تحريف ولا تعتيل ولا تقييف ولا تمثيل. يعني the ruling concerning that which came in the Sunnah is the same as the ruling as that which came in the Quran. What is that ruling? That it is obligatory to affirm for Allah. يعني what came in the Sunnah just as we affirm for Allah what came in the Quran. And it is obligatory to believe in it that it is what came in the Sunnah. يعني that it is obligatory to believe that it is a description, a wasf, a sifa of Allah and a name for Allah in a manner that is befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without يعني distorting it meaning or denying its meaning or explaining the how of it or giving examples, but taking it just as it came in a manner that's befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any resemblance to anything in the creation. Al-Bab Wahid, يعني the way we deal with the affirmation of sifat in the Sunnah is the same way we deal with the affirmation of sifat in the Quran. The manner of dealing with the Sunnah in this subject is the same way that we deal with what came in the Quran. Al-Bab Wahid. Wal-Hukmu Wahid. And the ruling concerning what came in the Sunnah and what came in the Quran is one ruling. It's the same. ما جاء في السنة الصحيحة حكمه حكم ما جاء في القرآن سواءً بسواءً عند أهل السنة والجماعة. يعني the ruling, يعني what came in the authentic Sunnah, its ruling is the same as the ruling of what came in the Quran equally according to the أهل السنة والجماعة. I don't think it can get any clearer than that. And then the Shaykh he says, then he mentions the hadith, the first hadith of these six. He mentions the first hadith of these six. وَذَلِكَ مِثْلُ قَوْلِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. All of the above that we just mentioned concerning the equality of يعني the ruling of affirmation of names and sifat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Sunnah as it is in the Quran. He says, and an example of this is the saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, يَنْزِلُ رَبُّنَا إِلَى السَّمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا كل ليلة هنا يبقى ثلث الليل الآخر فيقول من يدعوني فأستجيب له من يسألني فأعطيه من يستغفرني فأغفر له حتى ينفجر الفجر. متفق على صحته. يعني the saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that our Rabb descends to the lowest heaven, يعني the heaven that's closest to the earth, every night when the final, the last third of the night remains, when there's only one third of the night remaining, Allah descends إِلَى السَّمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا and He says, who will supplicate to me so that I might answer him? And here I want to note just briefly, very very briefly, because we have discussed this in extensive detail previously, that acceptance of dua has conditions. Yani that there are shurut and mawaniya and adab that a person needs to know. So a person should not imagine that if they get up in the last third of the night and call upon Allah, while their food is haram, and their drink is haram, and their clothing is haram, and they are nourished by haram, and they are acting in disobedience to Allah, and they are worshipping something else. Yani there are conditions and there are mawaniya, there are conditions that have to be fulfilled. And there are prohibitive factors that prevent a person's dua from being answered. But the general rule here is what? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is encouraging us, inviting us to call upon Him in the last third of the night when He says, who will supplicate to me And as a result of you supplicating, I will answer him. And who will ask me for something, as a result of him asking, I will give it to him. And who will seek forgiveness of me, so that as a result of that person's seeking forgiveness, I will forgive him. حَتَّى يَنْفَجِرَ الْفَجْرُ, until the dawn, until the break of dawn. And these words, حَتَّى يَنْفَجِرُ الْفَجْرُ, came in the narration of Imam Muslim. The hadith is muttafaqun alayh. This wording came in the Sahih of Muslim. The Shaykh says, okay, I'm going to come back to this hadith just a little bit, but I'm going to finish what the Shaykh says so that we don't run out of time without that. Yeah, I'll read what the Shaykh said first. So the Shaykh, he says, أهل السنة يثبتون هذا النزول وصفا لله. The people of Sunnah affirm this descending of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it is a quality or characteristic for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وهو النزول يليق بالله لا يشابه خلقه في نزولهم. Yani this descending of Allah is to be understood in a way that is befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't resemble, yani, the creation in their descending, in the way they descend. فَإِنَّ الْعَبْدِ يَنْزِلُ مِنْ أَعْلَى إِلَى أَسْفَلَ مِنْ سَطْحِ الْجَبَلِ مَثَلًا. For indeed, a creature, a created being, a human being, descends from that which is higher to that which is lower, yani, like for example, from the top of a mountain. He descends from the top of the mountain to the bottom of it. لَكَنَ النُّزُولُ غَيْرُ النُّزُولُ نزول الله غير نزول عبده فليس النزول كالنزول. But this, yani, descending of the abd, or the descending of Allah, is not like the descending. The descending of the abd is not like the descending of Allah. Allah's descending is not like the descending of His created being, His worshipper. فليس النزول كالنزول, yani, the descendings, the two types of descending, they are not the same. وَهَكَذَا الْقَوْلُ, and similar, we say the same thing about his speech, his saying something. فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ, yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he speaks, he says something, and the human beings also speak, but لَيْسَ الْقَوْلُ كَالْقَوْلُ, but the speaking of Allah and the speaking of the human being is not the same. وَلَيْسَ النِّدَا كَالنِّدَا, and the calling out of Allah is not like the calling out of the created beings. وَلَيْسَ الْكَلَامُ كَالْكَلَامُ, nor is Allah's speech, his kalam, is not like the speech of the human beings. صفات الله تليق به, the sifat of Allah are befitting, are suitable and appropriate for him, for his greatness and his majesty and his glory. وهو يستجيب للداعي جل وعلا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani, answers the one who calls upon him. Yani, he said, whoever, who will supplicate to me so that I will answer him, who will ask me for something so that I may give it to him, and who will seek forgiveness from me so that I will forgive him. فَهُوَ الْجَوَادِ الْكَرِيمِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, yani, extremely generous and beneficent and kind, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمِ, and he is, yani, forgiving and merciful. فَيَجِبُ إِثْبَاتُ هَذِهِ الصِّفَاتِ لِلَّهِ عَلَى الْوَجْهِ اللَّائِقِ بِهِ. So it is obligatory upon us to affirm these qualities and characteristics for Allah in a manner that is befitting of him, in a manner that is suitable for him. And this is where we want to stop today. The hadith that follows is Allah laughs at two men. One of them killed the other and they both entered the paradise. And that's followed by the hadith of Allah being amazed at the despair of His worshippers while the change in their condition is near. We'll come to that in the next session. I just want to quickly mention, yani, from the benefits of this hadith, yani, that Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen mentions several benefits. From the first things that he mentions is this hadith that the Shaykh has just presented briefly here. He says, وَيَدَعُونِي أَيْ يَقُولُ يَا رَبْ, yani, that who will supplicate to me, that is, who will say, يَا رَبْ, يَا رَبْ, yani, who will supplicate to Allah, who will call upon their Lord. He said, مَنْ يَسْأَلُنِي يَقُولُ أَسْأَلُكَ الْجَنَّةِ, yani, a person who will ask Allah, who will ask Allah for something like, اللهم إني أسألك الجنة, oh Allah, I ask you for Jannah. Who will ask Allah for something so that Allah will give it to them? من يستغفرني, who will seek forgiveness for me? He said, Like the person will say, Allahumma gfirli. Allahumma gfirli. Or, astaghfiruka Allahumma. He said that al-istighfar, yani is the covering of the sins and the passing over it. Yani giving the person, yani forgiving them, overlooking it. Now, and then he says, and I'm going to close with this, he says, min fawaid hadha al-hadith. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, says, min fawaid hadha al-hadith. And he mentions four benefits. And then one final point, and we'll close with that. The first benefit of this hadith, that Allah descends in the last third of the night to the sama' dunya. He said the first benefit is ithbat al-ulu lillahi. And that this hadith confirms Allah's highness. How? How does this hadith confirm Allah's highness? Because Allah descends. The Prophet said Allah descends. So you descend from high to low. So this is the first benefit of this hadith, that it affirms, yani the main point of this hadith is what, that Allah descends. But the Shaykh is saying, from the extra benefits of this hadith, it also affirms Allah's highness. Yani this is another affirmation of Allah's ulu. The second benefit, إثبات الأفعال الإختيارية, that this hadith also affirms for us that Allah has actions that He does by choice, that He chooses to do. التي هي الصفات الفعلية. And these are what we referred to previously as الصفات الفعلية. We said that the صفات are divided into الصفات الذاتية and صفات الفعلية. فعلية means those actions that Allah does by His will, that He chooses to do. So this hadith is also an affirmation of الصفات الاختيارية or الصفات الفعلية. And that is understood from the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, يَنزِلُ رَبُّنَا حِينَ يَبْقَى ثُلُثُ اللَّيْلَ الْآخِرِ. Yani that Allah descends when one third of the night remains. Yani meaning He chooses to descend at that particular time. So this is from His أفعال الفعلية or الأفعال الاختيارية. ثالثا, the third benefit of this hadith, إثبات القول لله تعالى. Yani the affirmation of qawl, of speech, of speaking that Allah says, is saying, that He says things, and that's because He said, يَقُولُ, yani that Allah will say, who will supplicate to me? Allah will say that. So this is also affirmation of qawl for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His saying. And the fourth benefit of this hadith, He says, إِثْبَاتُ الْقَرَمْ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. That affirmation of Allah's generosity. Affirmation of Allah's generosity. How so? Because Allah is saying, who, which one of you will supplicate to me? So I will answer him. Who will ask so that I will give him? Who will seek forgiveness? This shows that Allah is generous. He's not just picking out special people. He's saying, who will call upon me so that I will answer him? He's extremely generous. When we invite somebody to our house, we just limit it to a few people, right? We don't invite everybody. But Allah is inviting everybody. Who will call upon me? Shows His generosity. And finally, the Shaykh says, and this is what the Imam alluded to after Isha, فِيهِ مِنَ النَّاحِيَةَ الْمَسْلَقِيَّةِ. Yani how does what came in this hadith affect our behavior? How does it affect our actions, our behavior? He said, أَنَّهُ يَنْبَغِي لِلْإِنسَانِ أَنْ يَغْتَنِمْ هَذَا الْجُزْ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ وَيَسْأَلُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَيَدْعُوهُ وَيَسْتَغْفِرُهُ. Yani it is befitting, incumbent upon the human being to take advantage of this part of the night, yani the last third of the night, to take advantage of this and to not sleep through it. It is incumbent upon the human being, the Muslim, the believer, to take advantage of this opportunity of in this last part of the night and ask Allah, supplicate to Allah, ask Allah for one's needs and to seek His forgiveness, and to seek His forgiveness. That's how it should affect our behavior. So every one of us has to ask ourselves, yani how many opportunities have passed me by this week? How many last thirds of the night I didn't get up and ask Allah for my needs? I didn't get up and supplicate to Allah, knowing that He has promised to answer my supplication. I didn't get up and ask for His forgiveness, even though I have committed sins by day and by night. The Shaykh says, as long as your Rabb is saying, who will supplicate to me? Who will ask me? Who will seek forgiveness from me? He said, this man is lit tashweeq. Yani to to instill in a person a longing or yearning for that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is yani offering. فَيَنْبَغِي لَنَا أَن نَسْتَغِلْ هَذِهِ الْفُرْسَةِ So it is incumbent upon us to take advantage of this opportunity. And that is because لِأَنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْعُمْرِ إِلَّا مَا عَمْضَيْتَهُ فِي طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ Yani that there is nothing that will be for you, to your credit, to your benefit, in your whole life, except the time you spent in obedience to Allah. And the rest of it is lost. He said, فَتَمُرُّ بِكَ الْأَيَّامِ The days will pass you by. إِذَا نَزَلَ بِكَ الْمَوْتِ If death descends upon you, فَكَأَنَّكَ وُلِدْتَ تِلْكَ السَّاعَةِ It will be as though you were just born that hour. Yani when death comes to a person, it's over. وَكُلُّ مَا مَضَى لَيْسَ بِشَيْءٍ Whatever has passed by is gone. A person has to take advantage of this opportunity. And it is an offer from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's not like any offer that yani will get in this dunya. It's a chance. Yani that if a person allows it to pass by, there's only regret. Regret that will not be of any benefit. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I salam for myself and for each of you. That He grant us success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone. And that He recognize, reward and record our good deeds and pardon and forgive and overlook our mistakes and errors. And that He yani grant us al-thabat, to be steadfast upon the sirat al-mustaqim until we return to Him in a condition in which we are pleasing to Him and pleased with Him. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yani rescue yani the weak and oppressed Muslims in Palestine, in Yemen, in India, or wherever they may be, where the Muslims are oppressed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rescue them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who can grant them firmness. And He is the one who can grant them relief. And He is the one yani, that hope should be in. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them victory over their enemies, over our enemies, and that He yani, reward them for their patience and their steadfastness and their firmness upon Iman and upon Islam. And that He let yani, what is happening be also a lesson to us, and to appreciate what we have and to prepare ourselves for that which is to come. And Allah knows best what is in front of us. Allahumma musta'an.